to see you.
It is time for our scripture, which is found in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. And I am reading from the New King James Version, and it says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." And I'll ask those that are able to kneel, and I will offer a prayer. Father in heaven, thank you first for the gift of prayer that we might speak to you anytime we need to. And Father, I ask for forgiveness as we are all sinners, and we know we've broken trust with you, and I pray that we realign ourselves with your will, and we praise you for your gift of forgiveness. And Father, I want to bless the tithes and offerings that are offered today, that it might continue the work needed to bring you here soon to take us home with you. And Father, I pray that you will comfort and support those that have need, those that have health issues, and those that are struggling. And if we can be a part of your plan to offer comfort, that you impress on us to do so. With our speaker, I pray that you'll give calm and speak through her, that we hear the words that you've impressed upon her. And I thank you again for all the gifts that you give us, and may we continue to recognize those throughout the day. And I offer this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Happy Sabbath. Good morning. Oh, you guys just can't get away from the Stewart family today. We're in control of everything. We didn't plan it that way, I swear. Little confession, this is probably going to be a fairly short sermon today. I know, you guys get to go home and have leftovers sooner, so it's not that bad. But I finally, after almost 3 years of clean streak, finally caught COVID a couple weeks ago, and I'm okay now and better, but my lungs haven't gotten the memo yet. It's the joy of having asthma, so if I sound a little out of breath, don't worry, it's just because I am, and not quite feeling up to really long, drawn-out eschatological discourse today. Hopefully I won't be doing any coughing. I've got my little echinacea tea here. So say a prayer for me, because I need it. My topic today, I kind of struggled coming up with, because it's hard, like something that's important to you, and I kept thinking, well, what am I struggling with? What's something that I have a hard time with? And the first thing that I came up with was anger. I'm not an angry person, but our world is kind of an angry world, and it sticks to you, and it hurts, and it's hard to get rid of, and you feel gross and icky. But then I wanted to go a little deeper than that, because anger is just a secondary emotion. It's just something we have to protect ourselves, something that feels powerful when we are feeling vulnerable. And I thought, so what's under that? What do I need? And I landed on forgiveness, which is something that I think we all need a little extra of during the holiday season, especially everyone coming over to your house and all the fun topics that come up. It's a difficult one. So I'm going to try to talk about that, try to keep breathing. And let's just say one more little prayer before I get started. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that we have our health, even if it's not always where we want it to be, for waking us all up this morning and getting us here, regardless of the challenges in our way. I ask that you be with everyone here. Open all of our hearts and minds. Let everyone take from this message what they are meant to take and what they need to hear. Be with those who are at home who can't be with us today in person. Please be with me, Lord. Be with my lungs. Be with my voice. Say through me what needs to be said, not what I want to say. Thank you, Lord. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. I have a dog, which if you've talked to me for any considerable length of time, you already know because I talk about him all the time. He is my baby. His name is Thor, which is funny because he's 15 pounds and a Yorkie mix, but he thinks he's really big and tough until he gets stepped on, which happens fairly frequently because, again, 15 pounds, and he thinks he's my shadow, so he's, like, always right there, and he doesn't realize that, like, I have big feet and, like, he's tiny, and you turn around and you almost step on him, and he cries like he's been drop-kicked across the kitchen. He's a little bit dramatic. The thing is, though, if you have a dog that you've, like, accidentally stepped on their paw before, what do? They yelp, and then they start climbing up at you and licking you and trying to get attention from you and trying to let you know, it's okay, I know you didn't mean to. You don't even have to apologize. They're just immediately, forgive you, immediately, instantly. He doesn't even have to think about it. He doesn't run away from me. He doesn't make a big fuss. He doesn't try to make me feel bad about it and wait for me to apologize. He's just immediately there, loving on me, letting me know that it's okay. And it's not just me. We were trying to travel, and Thor gets really car sick. And my mom and I realized we didn't have his medication for traveling, and so we started calling around to some vets in the area because we were not at home, and found a lady who was able to fit us in. And she said, I have to examine him, but then we can maybe give him some medication. So we went in. She did the little exam. She was lovely. She and Thor loved each other. It was like they were best friends from birth. And she said, okay, I can give you pills. However, those won't kick in for a few hours, and if you guys need to leave now, it's better if I give him a shot. You can see where this is going. Remember I said he's dramatic? She said, this is a new formulation. It doesn't even sting. The old one used to. This one's fine. Well, he screamed. Absolute heartbreak. It was like he was being tortured. So sad. And at the same time, immediately, licking her hands, licking her face, trying to cuddle with her, trying to roll over, which was a problem because that's where he got the shot, and then that hurt again. didn't hold it against her at all. Just wanted to love on her. And there's some with dogs, there's a little bit of submissive behavior there, but that's a social behavior. They're not trying to get away from you. They're trying to reconnect with you immediately. Dogs are really good at forgiving. They forgive really quickly. And I think it's because they don't worry about tomorrow. They don't worry about yesterday. They're here to have a good time. And they're here to love you unconditionally and with enthusiasm. They don't have time for grudges. It's just not in their little brains to hold a grudge. Humans, on the other hand, we're kind of bad at forgiveness. Or at least I am. I'm sure there's others here that feel the same. I do try. I put in an effort. I don't like feeling bitter or angry. I don't like feeling like I'm holding a grudge, but it's really hard. And then it's never like one and done, you know? Things kind of come back up, and that's frustrating because you want it to just be like over with, like, oh, I forgot, I forgave and forgot. It's done. Yay. But no, it's not. Never like that. But it's so important. Important enough that it's in the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that we're supposed to base our own prayers off of. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. The implication being there that if we want to be forgiven, we must also be willing to forgive. Ephesians 4:32, part of our scripture this morning, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. It's very important. There's even a parable about it, of the unmerciful servant, the man who's supposed to be sent to prison because he has this enormous debt to the king, and he begs for mercy, and the king has mercy on him and doesn't just give him more time to pay the debt, he forgives it completely. So then, of course, that guy goes out, finds someone who owes him like 10 bucks, starts choking him, demands he gets paid back, and he does not have mercy when he's asked. He threw his own debtor into prison. And then the king finds out, and the king is furious, and his debt is fully reinstated, and the unmerciful servant ends up in prison. Jesus ends this parable by saying, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. It's important. Very important. And it's good for you. A lot of you, if you know me, know that I'm really into psychology. I studied it for several years, didn't graduate. Won't be talking about that until I can do so without crying. hanging on to anger and bitterness at someone or some situation actually raises levels of stress hormones in your blood, cortisol, adrenaline, things like that. And that can lead to issues both mentally and also physically over time. It's really not good for your body to be just bathed in those chemicals all the time. But when you're angry, it kind of is. Forgiveness is also correlated with improved mental well-being, with healing, with personal growth. It's been shown to help reduce symptoms of depression in people that suffer from major depressive disorder. So why is it so hard? Part of it, I think, comes down to not wanting to let go of our anger. As I said earlier, anger is a secondary emotion. If you think about it, anger comes from somewhere. People don't make you angry. They hurt you, they embarrass you, they frustrate you, they make you sad, and then you turn it into anger. Because anger is powerful. It feels strong and safe. We don't like feeling vulnerable. We don't like people having that power over us, so we give ourselves the power of anger. And anger is important. It can push us to change. It can push us to take care of others. It pushes us into action. But it's not good to hold on to. It's not a long-term solution. And we don't want to let go of that. It's forgiving means being willing to let go of that emotional safety blanket of anger. There's also an element of pride, especially if the person you're trying to forgive doesn't realize or believe that they need to be forgiven. They don't think they did anything wrong. We want people to acknowledge they did something wrong. We want them to admit that they hurt you. And when you're not getting that, it's really hard to forgive them. Because they're supposed to come to you begging for mercy. And it frequently doesn't work like that. It stings our pride to let them off the hook. And then there's that annoying way that forgiveness sometimes just disappears. You thought you were over it. You thought you forgave it. Good job. Prayed over it. And then maybe a couple days later, maybe even a few years down the line, suddenly it comes up again. It's kind of like a tree. Stay with me here. Particular kind of tree. It's from Australia, and it's called the Gimpy Gimpy, which is a fantastic name. I don't know what it means. It's from the indigenous people that lived there. I imagine it means something like don't touch that one or ow. You see, the Gimpy Gimpy tree is what is considered to be the most poisonous plant in the world. Or at least in Australia, which is saying something because it's Australia. This entire plant, the leaves, the stem, the branches, the fruit, every piece of it is covered in tiny little hairs called trichomes. And these tiny hairs also have a fun habit of shedding, like a cat. So there's also just hairs in the air around the tree. And these trichomes have a similar structure to a hypodermic needle, except microscopic. You barely have to brush against the tree or even just walk through the air and breathe, and those little trichomes embed in your skin and break off, and then start releasing their toxin. The toxin is not deadly, but it is excruciatingly painful. The pain from it is instant, but then builds up over the next 20 to 30 minutes, and lasts for several days. Supposedly, the best way to get rid of those trichomes is you basically wax the area. You can use actual hot wax. You can use duct tape. Sounds really fun when you're already in pain, right? But that doesn't always work because they're so tiny that your skin closes over them, which means that they're still in there. And these things, the real nasty part, they are extremely stable. They're so small, your body doesn't know to eject them, and they can continue to cause pain every time you come across extreme temperatures, cold water, pressure, for years after the initial exposure. It is a really nasty tree. Imagine every time that your shower happens to be a little bit cold, being reminded of the lovely gimpy tree. It's happened to people. But it happens to us in other ways, doesn't it? I mean, maybe we aren't reminded of the gimpy tree, although maybe you will be now. But you're reminded of someone who hurt you, your own personal tree. You forgive them, think you move on, and then out of the blue, maybe days, maybe weeks, maybe months, maybe years later, you're reminded. There's that cold water again, that thing they did that hurt you. And then you're angry all over again. Because you're feeling that hurt all over again. And you're supposed to forgive them again. It's really hard to do, and it's really frustrating, that repetition, that coming back. You might feel like you're failing or like you did something wrong, but those feelings, those emotions are not bad or wrong. You are feeling a response to something that was unfair, something unjust that happened to you, and that is natural. They're just feelings. It's what you do with them that's important. Matthew 18:21-22 says, "Then Peter came up and said to him, 'Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Jesus doesn't tell Peter, "No, you're just supposed to forgive once and be done with it." He knows it doesn't work that way. People will wrong us again and will remember wrongs from the past, or we'll just have that creeping anger from lots of little things that have built up over time. It isn't failing to forgive again. That's just part of life. That doesn't mean we're off the hook. We still have to put in the work. But have no fear. Like many things, psychology has a model for that. It's the process model of forgiveness, and it was developed and introduced by Dr. Robert Enright. He's an educational psychologist, and he specializes in the field of forgiveness. It breaks forgiveness into 4 phases. The first phase is what's called the uncovering phase. This is where you admit to yourself you're still hurt. It takes introspection. It can be uncomfortable. When we don't forgive, that hurt and anger just kind of stays there, but buried. I had a therapist describe it to me as trying to hold a beach ball underwater for as long as you can. You can do it, but eventually it's going to come flying out somewhere, and you don't know where it's going to go or who it's going to hit. It's still there. It's still a problem, even if you're pushing it down as hard as you can. So in this phase, you accept those feelings. You sit with them, you feel them, and you try to understand them. You try to have compassion on yourself for feeling those things. Explore how you've been avoiding or processing those emotions and how that strategy has not worked because you're still feeling them. The second phase is the decision phase, which is exactly what it sounds like. You decide to forgive, which sounds like, well, that should just be it then, but it's not. That doesn't mean that you've forgiven yet. This is just acknowledging that what you've been doing isn't working, and that you want to move on from this. You want to open yourself to that healing. You release any desire or thought of revenge or getting even, or they'll get theirs, or that guy that cut me off will get a ticket, I just know it. Let it go. Let it go. Third the work phase. This is the hard part. Because this one involves trying to develop compassion for the person who hurt you. It does not mean excusing them. It does not mean saying what they did was okay, but it does mean recognizing them as a fellow human and as someone who has feelings and emotions and who's maybe been hurt themselves. Very rarely do people do things out of outright malice. So try to think to yourself, what was going on for them? What's happening in their life? What hurt do they have, or may they have, that caused them to hurt me? And at the same time, cultivate acceptance of the wrong received. Accept that you were hurt and that that hurt may stay with you a long time. This is not saying you deserved it. This is not saying you still deserve it. This is not even saying you have to like it or find meaning in it. It's just saying, I accept this. It was not my fault, but what happens with it now is my responsibility to not push off on anyone else, including the person who hurt me. In this phase, you start to feel some empathy and goodwill towards the offender, but it may or may not include reconciliation. The fourth phase is the final one, the outcome or deepening phase. This is a reward for all the hard work. You start to feel those positive effects of forgiveness. We talked about the lowering of stress hormones. You start to have increased feelings of self-improvement, self-confidence. And you have compassion for others, not only the person who offended you, but this process of forgiveness helps you feel more compassionate towards everyone that comes into your sphere, and more compassion for yourself. I said earlier, just a couple minutes ago, that this process may or may not include reconciliation, and I think that's very important, and I mean that. I think sometimes this gets glossed over by that forgive and forget mentality. You forgive, and then, oh, everything's better. It's not. Sometimes people hurt you in a way, or hurt you so many times, that they are not safe to be around. You can forgive someone and not reconcile. Forgiveness is internal. That is in your heart. That is something for you. Reconciliation requires work from both parties. If they're not willing to put in the work, it is okay to love someone from a distance. Hand them over to God and just let it be. Because God is way better at forgiveness than us. He doesn't have to go through this whole psychological model that we've created. He doesn't have to do it over and over again because he remembered again that we messed up so badly. When we ask forgiveness from him, there is no delay because it's already done. He already did the work. There's no hesitation. Romans 5:8 says, "But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He did it before we were even sorry. We just have to ask. When we forgive, again, it's that internal process. It does not require an apology. It does not require the other person to want it, to think they need it, or to even deserve it. Reconciliation takes two. But with God and with his forgiveness, reconciliation is built in because he has also done the work for us as the offender. He can make us new just as soon as we ask for it. Psalms 103, 10 through 14 is such a beautiful passage. I love this one. It says, "He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust." When we ask God for forgiveness, our sin is thrown away. It's gone. And hey, guess what? He can help you forgive too. I want to read you something written by Corrie Ten Boom. If you're not familiar with her, she is a Holocaust survivor. She was, her and her family were arrested for helping hide Jews during the Nazi regime. And she was a Christian. And I believe later in life she became an Adventist, if I'm remembering correctly. This is an excerpt from her article published in Guidepost Magazine in 1972. I could paraphrase, but I think that her words should come from her. So, it was 1947, and I had come from Holland to defeated Germany with the message that God forgives. It was the truth they needed most to hear in that bitter, bombed-out land, and I gave them my favorite mental picture. Maybe because the sea is never far from a Hollander's mind, I liked to think that that's where our forgiven sins were thrown. When we confess our sins, I said, God casts them into the deepest ocean, gone forever. The solemn faces stared back at me, not quite daring to believe. There was never questions after a talk in Germany in 1947. People stood up in silence collected their wraps, and in silence left the room. And that's when I saw him, working his way forward against the others. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat. The next, a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones. It came back with a rush. The huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment skin. Betsy, how thin you were. Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation of Holland. This man had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp where we were sent. Now he was in front of me, hand thrust out. A fine message, Fräulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take that hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among those thousands of women? But I remembered him and the leather crop swinging from his belt. It was the first time since my release that I had been face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard there. No, he did not remember me. But since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well. Fräulein, again, the hand came out, will you forgive me? And I stood there, I whose sin had every day to be forgiven and could not. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. For I had to do it, I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus said, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. I knew it not only as a commandment of God, but as a daily experience. Since the end of the war, I had had a home in Holland for victims of Nazi brutality. Those who were able to forgive their former enemies were able also to return to the outside world and rebuild their lives, no matter what the physical scars. Those who nursed their bitterness remained invalids. It was as simple and as horrible as that. And still I stood with coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. A current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried, with all my heart. If there was ever something that was unforgivable, it would be what that man did. And yet, by God's grace, it was done. Sometimes all we can do is lift our hand and ask God to supply the feeling. But that's enough. He doesn't ask us for a lot. Just lift your hand and praise God that that is enough. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask for your forgiveness for our transgressions, for the way that we struggle to forgive others. We ask that your forgiveness would flow through us and into those around us, that you would bring your compassion into our lives so that we feel it fully and abundantly for everyone around us. Give us peace and safety. Be with us today as we separate and go to our homes to continue in this time of Thanksgiving. Thank you for your love, Father. Thank you for taking away our sins. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.